everybody for joining tonight, Rabbi Yehoshua Katz, obviously someone that most of us know, grew up in our shul, and is still very much part of Renat. It's part of the Kol Elyon of YU, specifically the Wexner Kol Elyon. And every time I ask him, he always agrees, and with great pleasure. His Thursday nights are busier these days. So I am school vacation. Did not give him a vacation, and so I really want to thank him, and I hope he's not speaking tomorrow so that he can have a little bit of vacation. Rabbi Katz, bavakasha.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Harry. Always a pleasure to be back at Rina. Never feels like a break from vacation. It's always a pleasure. Okay, so tonight we have Parshas Bo this week. I wanted to speak a little bit about the role of the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach really takes up much of the Parsha. So let's begin just by doing a close analysis of the Pesukim. I'm going to share my screen here for those who...
Yehoshua, before you mute, you want to mention that it's in memory of Zadie?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Tonight's share has been sponsored by my parents in memory of my grandfather, Yisrael Nachman Ben Asher Antrel, and I'm going to speak a little bit about my Zadie at the end of the share. Thank you so much. Okay. So I'm going to share my screen here so that everybody can see. Okay. So in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, that's the meat of this week's Parsha and Parsha's Bo. So the Torah begins with a mitzvah that's familiar to all of us, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Vayomer Hashem and Moshe v'Aaron v'Eretz Mitzrayim l'mor, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim, Rishon hu lachem lechodshei hashana. So you should sanctify the first of the months, referring to Chodesh Nisa. That's the first mitzvah that is given to all of Klal Yisrael. And then the Torah continues after that, Pasuk Gimel, Dabru kol adas Yisrael lemor be'asor lachodesh hazeh, on the 10th of Nisan, v'yikhu lachem ish se levis avos se labayis. That each person should take for himself a sheep that he's then going to sacrifice as the Korban Pesach. Already here we see a bit of a wordy phrase, ish se levis avos se labayis. A person is supposed to take a sheep for his house of forefathers and also for his house. What exactly does that mean? We'll come back to that. The Torah tells us that we're supposed to join together in groups. B'michsas nefashos means a group of people to sacrifice this korban. So already just by reading four psukim, we already have a bunch of questions that I think we should try to focus on. The first one is, what accounts for the juxtaposition between the two mitzvos that are stated at the beginning of this section in the Torah? The first one is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the mitzvah to be Mekadish the Chodesh. And the second one introduces the whole idea of Korban Pesach, the idea of separating a sheep that's then going to be sacrificed on the 14th of Nisan, the day before the holiday of Pesach, which colloquially known as Pesach, on the 15th of Nisan. What's the connection? What's the juxtaposition between Kiddush HaChodesh on the one hand and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach on the other? And the truth is that even the formulation in the Torah itself is quite interesting. If you take a close look at the Pesukim, so in Pasuk Aleph, the Torah says that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, Lemor. And Lemor always means that the recipient of the message is supposed to relay that message to another audience. So Moshe and Aaron are supposed to convey what they're hearing from Hashem to the nation. And what do they hear? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. And then in Pasuk Gimel, after Moshe and Aaron hear the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, so then Hashem repeats, Dabru al kol adas Yisrael lemor, that you should speak to the entire nation, saying, meaning conveying another message, namely the message of Korban Pesach. But it's interesting because why does the Torah have to repeat the double lemor? If Hashem is speaking to Moshe and Aaron and they're supposed to relay a message to Klal Yisrael, so then that message can encapsulate both Kiddush HaChodesh and Korban Pesach. Why is there a double lemor, as if there was almost like a false start? Right? You first talk about the Kiddush HaChodesh, then you stop right away, And then a new message arises. And that new message is about Korban Pesach. How are we supposed to explain that? That's question number one. Question number two, if you take a look at all of the highlights, the yellow highlights, so it becomes patently clear that the Milat Mancha in the language of modern day biblical scholars, the key word of the passage of Korban Pesach is bias, the root of Beis Yud Tav, the house. It's repeated, I don't even know how many times, I didn't count it all together, but if you look, it's all over. It feels like when you're reading through the Pesukim, it feels like it's ubiquitous. It's like you can't get away from the word bias. What is that about? Why is the house the centerpiece of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach? What is the role of the house in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach? Question number two. Question number three is another emphasis that we find throughout these Pesukim, which you can see in the bold, which is that here we have a stress on the nationhood of Klal Yisrael. Daberu el kol adas Yisrael lemor. That's a very rare phrase in the Torah. We don't usually have kol adas Yisrael. We usually have b'nei Yisrael or something along those lines. We don't usually have kol adas Yisrael, the entire assembly of Yisrael. And then if that weren't enough, then in Pasuk Hey, the Torah tells us as well, when it introduces the mitzvah to shech, to slaughter the Korban Pesach, v'shachatu oso kol kehal adas Yisrael bein ho'arbayim. It doesn't just say v'shachatu oso Yisrael, or Ishe Yisrael, or b'nei Yisrael. It's kol kehal adas Yisrael, a seemingly repetitive usage in order to connote the nationhood of Klal Yisrael. What is that all about? And we have it again at the end of the parsha, in Pasuk Mem Zayin down here, again in the bold, where the Torah repeats some of the central laws about the Korban Pesach going forward for future generations. The fulcrum of that set of Pesukim is Kol Adas Yisrael Ya'asu Oso, a very emphatic type of statement, just a five-word kind of, a punch in the middle of the discussion, that the entire nation should do this performance, should sacrifice the korban. And then at the very end, thus the last note that we find after learning about the Korban Pesach, so we learned that the nation implemented what they were told to do, and it says, Vayasu kol b'nei Yisrael, ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, v'asa Aaron kein asu. Not just b'nei Yisrael, but kol b'nei Yisrael. Everyone is involved here. There's a clear emphasis in the Pesukim, not just on the bias that we pointed out before, but also on the nation. And the question is, what accounts for that emphasis? So in order to answer some of these questions, I'm not so proficient at sharing my screen, but I'm getting better. Okay. So in order to answer these questions, I want to take a step back and analyze more of a halachic issue, but we're going to bring it back to a parsha lens to this topic. I want to analyze more of a halachic issue of what exactly is the ownership status of the Korban Pesach. And don't get too afraid here. I know it might sound esoteric, but I give you my best word that we're going to keep it clear and it won't get too involved. We won't get into any nitty gritty. So there are two different types of korbanos in Torah. There's a korban that's a korban yachid, and there's also a korban tzibur. And kishmam kein heim, they're exactly as they sound. A korban yachid is a sacrifice that's offered by an individual. So for example, I may take upon myself to offer, let's say, a korban shlamim in the Beis HaMikdash. And if that were the case, I personally would have that obligation to offer that korban. Then there's also another category of korbanos that's called korban tzibur. And again, kishmo kein hu, that is the korban that's offered by the community, by the nation. So a classic example of a korban tzibur would be the tamidim, meaning the tamid shal shachar, the tamid shal bein ho arbayim. Those were the two korbanos that were offered at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. At the very beginning of each day, there was a korban that was offered on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, and so too at the end of the day. Another classic example, one that we actually reference every single week on Shabbos, is the korbanos of Musafin. Anytime you have a special day, like a Shabbos or a Yontif, there were korbanos that were brought in honor of that day, and those weren't personal obligations. It wasn't that you and I went to the Beis HaMikdash to offer personal korbanos. Rather, there was a korban that was paid for from a communal joint fund, which was called the Trumas Halishka, a communal joint fund. And that fund was basically, that was the basis to purchase animals and be able to sacrifice them on behalf of the entire nation. So that's the category of korban sibur. We have this distinction, korban yachid and korban sibur. And the question that I want to explore with you just shortly is, into which of those two categories does korban Pesach fall? Is korban Pesach a korban yachid? Is it an individual personal korban? Or is it a korban sibur? Is it a korban that's offered by the community as a whole? So at first glance, on the one hand, it does seem like from the plain evidence that we would think that korban Pesach is a korban yachid. It's a korban that's offered by an individual. Why do I say that? So if you compare korban Pesach to any of the classical korbanos tzibor, it clearly stands apart. The korbanos tzibor, as we just explained, was basically one korban that was offered on behalf of the entire nation. When it came to the korban Pesach, every single person had an obligation to sacrifice a korban Pesach. I had an obligation. Dr. Friedman had an obligation. My father had an obligation. Everybody had an obligation. Every single person had an obligation to sacrifice the korban Pesach. Now, it happened to be that the way that the korban Pesach was sacrificed was that people got together in groups. So, for example, we could have the Rinat Parsha, Parsha Shir group, and we would all join together. We would appoint a shliach. I nominate the admor of the Maitland Minyan, Dr. Friedman. So he would purchase for us a korban, and that korban would be brought on behalf of all of us. But that doesn't mean that there's one korban that's brought on behalf of the entire community. Every single person had to bring the korban. It's just that we all joined together to bring it in unison, so to speak. So from that perspective, the korban Pesach clearly stands distinct from a korban sibur. It's not one korban that's brought on behalf of everybody, but rather every single person has an obligation to bring that korban. And the truth is, here we'll get some dafyomi credit for those who are doing dafyomi. And the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Samech Beis, it really says explicitly that the korban Pesach is a korban yachid. So we certainly have sufficient evidence that serves as the root for the claim that the Korban Pesach was a Korban Yachid. But on the other hand, what makes matters murky, what complicates things, is that we have other evidence that makes it seem like the Korban Pesach was a Korban Sibur, was a communal Korban. There's a Gemara in Yuma, on Daf Nun Aleph, that implies that the Korban Pesach was a Korban Sibur because of a special quality that it had. And that's what's called that the Pesach was Ba B'Knufya, which means that it was brought as part of a gathering. The way that the Korban Pesach was brought, we'll see, is all of Klal Yisrael got together and everybody came to the Beis HaMikdash all at the same time on the 14th of Nisan, and in three different stages, all of Klal Yisrael's Korbanos Pesach were brought in the Mikdash. So there were three different kind of openings to the Beis HaMikdash. And if you were enthusiastic and you had alacrity, so you would get your ticket for the first stage. And if you're the latecomer usually, so maybe you would get into the second stage or the third stage. But at the end of the day, everybody would have come to the Beis HaMikdash and participated, joined together, to offer a Korban Pesach. So since the Korban Pesach was brought in unison as part of a congregation, an assembly, a gathering, that's what it's known as Ba B'Chnufya, So on that basis, we view the Korban Pesach almost like a Korban Tzibor, because the whole Tzibor brings the Korban at the very same time. And the truth is that it's not just the appearance of the Korban Pesach that looked like a Korban Tzibor, but there were actually certain halachic ramifications of the Korban Pesach that identify it as a Korban Tzibor. So if you look at the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos, the Rambam wrote a Hakdama, an introduction to each Seder of Mishnayos. And in his introduction to the Mishnayos of Hadshim, which is all of the Mishnayos that deal with all of the Korbanos, so the Rambam divides between four different categories of Korbanos. Classic Rambam style, dividing, categorizing, exactly as we would expect from the Rambam. In source number 5, the Rambam writes, V'hasug harivii, the fourth type of Korbanos, is the Korban Yachid Ke'en Korban Tzibor. The Korban Yachid that is like the Korban Tzibor, that is akin to the Korban Tzibor. V'hu Korban Pesach, Shashochit Kol Adam B'yom Yodalet B'Nisan. That's the Korban Pesach that everyone offers on the 14th of Nisan. And then if you look after the ellipses, Aval Dimyon Sug Zeh the Korban Tzibor, the reason why the Korban Pesach is compared to a Korban Tzibor is Lefi Shehu Doche Es HaShabbos Es HaTuma. It has two properties that are the properties of a Korban Tzibor. Number one, it's offered even on Shabbos. It's Doche Shabbos. Normally, an individual is not allowed to offer a Korban on Shabbos because the Shchita of the Korban is a Malacha, not allowed to perform the Malacha of Shchita on Shabbos. So an individual is not allowed to offer a Korban on Shabbos. However, Korbanos Tzibor overrode that counter pressure on Shabbos. So that's why we still have the Korbanos of the Tmidin, and we still have the Musafin. That's why we say Musaf every Shabbos, because you still have Korbanos Tzibor that were offered on Shabbos. So just as Korbanos Tzibor are offered on Shabbos, so too the Korban Pesach was offered on Shabbos. That's one property that makes the Korban Pesach like a Korban Tzibor. Another one is the fact that the Korban Pesach was Doche Tum'ah, which means that if the majority of Klal Yisrael were Tameh, they would still offer the Korban Pesach. And that's distinct, that's different from an individual's halachos. If I were to take upon myself to bring a Korban, I would not be able to bring it while I was Tameh. I would have to go through a Tahara process and go to the mikvah and come back, and then I would be able to bring the Korban. But when it comes to Korbanos Tzibor, and Pesach here is grouped together with the Korban Tzibor, it's Doche Tuma. It means that even if the majority of the nation is Tameh, they're still going to bring that Korban. And one final property that makes the Korban Pesach like a Korban Tzibor is its accoutrements. So if you look at source number 4, this is a Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim, also getting future Daf Yomi credit for next week. So the Pesach, HaPesach Nishchat B'Shalosh Kitos, the Pesach was offered in 3 stages, in 3 classes. That's what I described before. And then the Mishnah describes, it's like a whole depiction of what would happen on Yud-Dalet Nisan. So Nichnes HaKas HaRishona, the first class of people would enter the Azara, the area in front of the Beis HaMikdash. They would lock the doors to block it off from any more people once it filled up. And then what did they do? Taku Heiriu V'Taku. They blew the Chatzotzers. They blew the trumpets in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. This accompaniment of the trumpets is a quality of a Korban Tzibor. And that's what we learn from the Medrash. The Medrash clarifies that the trumpets, these chatzotzos, were used specifically for Korbanos Tzibor and also for the Korban Pesach. So we have 3 qualities that make the Korban Pesach look like a Korban Tzibor: the fact that it overrides Shabbos, the fact that it overrides Tumah, and the fact that it's accompanied by Chatzotzros, and also the Shira, the song of the Levium, that the Levium used to sing a song as and actually happened to be Hallel on the 14th of Nisan while the Korban was being offered. So where does that leave us? Right? We've done a lot. We've quoted a lot. We've tried to, you know, put pull together some source material on our question as to whether the Korban Pesach is a Korban Yachid or a Korban Tzibur. And we seem to be left hanging here. What is the conclusion? Is the Korban Pesach a Korban Yachid or a Korban Tzibur? We have evidence in both directions. How exactly are we supposed to navigate the conflicting evidence on this question? So here, I would like to share with you a beautiful, beautiful piece from Rav Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal, from the Pachad Yitzchak. And actually, I'm just going to go get it right here so I can... Okay, so I just wanted to read it inside. I forgot to bring it to the table. A beautiful piece from the Pachad Yitzchak, where he explains exactly what's going on here. So Rav Hutner suggests that the way to navigate the conflicting evidence between Korban Yachid and Korban Tzibur with respect to Korban Pesach is to characterize the Korban Pesach as a Korban that makes the Tzibur, a Korban that generates the status of Tzibur. What that means is that all individuals of Klal Yisrael come together, they're all obligated to bring his or her own Korban Pesach, and they bring it at the same time and thereby attain the status of a congregation, attain the status of a Tzibur. Rav Hutner writes in his classic fashion, Hine ha-Pesach osehu es ha-Tzibur. The Pesach, the offering of the Korban Pesach, is what generates the Tzibur. You see, normally, let's say, going back to our other types of korbanos, where you have, the korban tamid or the korban musaf that we were describing before. Normally, in those cases, you already have a pre-existing tzibur. You have a congregation, and that congregation, that nation, is obligated to offer a certain korban on its entire behalf, right? As an entity. The congregation as an entity is obligated to offer a Korban Musaf. But here, with respect to the Pesach, it's flipped. It's flipped in the opposite direction. Instead of starting with the Tzibur and the Tzibur offering a Korban, the offering of the Korban is what generates the status of the Tzibur. The collection of individuals, everyone coming together at the same time on Yud Daled Nisan to offer this Korban Pesach is what gives that collection of individuals a transcendent status, a new status of a tzibur, of a congregation, of Klal Yisrael, of a nation, of a community. And in that respect, the Korban Pesach is really both a Korban Yachid and a Korban Tzibur. Its real essence in terms of the Korban is that it's a Korban Yachid. I'm obligated to bring it, you're obligated to bring it. But its effect, the consequence of that bringing of the Korban Pesach, is the generation of the Tzibur, the creation of the Tzibur, the making of the nation. And that's why the Korban Pesach also has some of the elements of a Korban Tzibur, like we mentioned before, its overriding of Shabbos and Tumah, it's Hallel. The fact that it's Ba B'Knufya, that it's brought as part of a gathering of individuals, everyone at the same time, that action is what creates this new entity called the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. So if this is the case, so then we can come back to our Parsha lens and we can really understand from hopefully a new light what's going on in the Pesukim. So we mentioned when we first went through the Pesukim that there's a clear emphasis on the word bias. And that in addition to that, there's also an emphasis on Kol Adas Yisrael, or Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. Every house, and also the entire nation. How do we account for those two emphases? Because this is exactly the point. The Korban Pesach highlights the concentric circles of individuals, and then family units, the bias. It highlights neighbors, as we'll see. It highlights different sections of Klal Yisrael, as we'll see. And eventually, it highlights Klal Yisrael in its entirety. And if that's the case, then we can understand why there's such an emphasis on the house. Because we start from the individual. and his abode. Where does he begin from? His family. The smallest web that we can think of. And then we broaden it to one more circle to include the neighbors. And then we broaden it once more to include one section of Klal Yisrael, and then again to include another section until eventually we include everybody in the bringing of this korban. But the korban is all about being able to go from that inner circle to another outer circle, to a further outer circle. You broaden and broaden and broaden until eventually that collection of all of those individuals generates the holistic Shem Tzibor, the notion of Klal Yisrael, of a nation. So if we look at the psukim, this is exactly what comes across. So let's go back. What does the Torah tell us? V'yikhu lahem ish, every individual should take a korban for himself. Se leveis avos, se labayis. And the later commentaries, Rav Shamshon Nafal Hirsch, the Malbim, they explain that beis avos refers to like a larger family web, a larger family tree, and then bias is one's personal family. So what the pasuk is trying to emphasize again is these concentric circles, that you go from the individual to the family to the broader network of family. Then what do we have in the next pasuk? Ve'im yim'at habayis mihiyos misen. If the family is too small to be able to manage an entire animal, meaning it's not going to be able to eat the entirety of the animal, and we want the entirety of the animal to be consumed, so then you have to broaden the group a little bit more. Well, who else are you going to include? Says the pasuk, "V'lokachu u'shcheino hakarov el beiso b'michsas nefashos." His neighbor, who's close to his house, he should bring together as part of that group. What does the Medrash comment on this idea of u'shcheino hakarov el beiso? Source number 6, the Mechilta, "V'kolkach lo dibra Torah ela mipnei darkei shalom." Shelo yehei adam meniach ohavo u'shchinav makirav u'myudaav. One should not set aside his friend, his neighbors, those who he knows and recognizes, those who myudaav, those who are known to him. Ve'echad mibnei iro, someone from his own community. Ve'holich ve'oseh pesach itzal achirim. And then, but instead, put all of those people aside and go get other people from some other random community together for his korban. No, says the pasuk. Instead, focus first on your neighbors. This brought to my mind, it brought up the idea of aniye ircha kodmi. And we have certain concentric circles of how we divide up our care and concern for everyone within Klal Yisrael. And we start from those who are closest to us, our family, and then we broaden it a little bit more to our larger extended family, and then we broaden it past that to our neighbors, broaden it past that to our community, Echad Mibnei Iro. That's exactly what the simple understanding of the Psukim is trying to get at here. This idea of the concentric circles. And eventually then you get to the Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, once you've included everybody, so then you have the nation in its entirety. In addition to that, so let me share with you a comment from Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. So Rav Hirsch really, he always waxes poetic a little bit. He just really describes this idea beautifully. So he explains as follows, that Hashem, when taking us out of Mitzrayim, made us into free people. And by doing so, he granted us personality. He granted us individuality. He granted us humanity. He granted us what it means to be a free person. And that's the idea that every single individual is obligated to offer a Korban Pesach, to mark that milestone in our history when Hashem gave us that status. But that's not enough. Says Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch right here. By permitting one individual to take a lamb and slaughter it for several other individuals, which meant that one man was authorized to act on behalf of his fellow man in both civil and religious matters. That's the idea of shlichus, of having a messenger, having someone act on one's behalf. So then God declared that all were equal before him and before the law. That we're all in this together, the cliche goes. Right, that every single individual is connected, that there's a link, that there are dots that connect every individual within Klal Yisrael, such that I can act as a messenger on your behalf, and so too vice versa. And then once these individuals, with the receipt of their rightful independence, were enabled to stand tall, the state-building word of God gathered them first into families. Again, the concentric circle idea. And then later, after the families, you have three different sections of Klal Yisrael. Yisrael is the national entity, meaning when you think about a nation, nationhood, that's what Yisrael means. Then you have Eda, which denotes the independent constituents who are responsible for the fulfillment of the nation's mission, the community. That is all of us, all of the individuals who make up that national identity and who allow for that whole to be greater than the sum of its parts. And finally, you have the Kahal, which denotes the highest echelons of government and leadership, the nation's representatives. You have the Moshe, the Aaron, the Zekanim, the Batei Din. You have representatives who serve as the assemblymen of all of Klal Yisrael. And at this moment of emergence into a new life, each individual, each household, each family, the entire community as a whole and as individuals are to see themselves and their relationship to God as a seh, and that's part of the process of Korban Pesach. What I want to try to bring out from Rav Hirsch's comments is this exact idea, where the psukim are emphasizing that Korban Pesach is about building the nation. That's why Korban Pesach is both a Korban Yachid and a Korban Tzibor. It's a Korban Yachid that generates the Tzibor, as we quoted from Rav Huttner, and that's what explains all of the different emphases in the psukim, the bias, which is, you know, the individual and his or her close family network, and then all the way up to Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, to the entire assembly as a whole. How does this answer the first question that we posed at the beginning of what's the juxtaposition, what's the connection between the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah to sanctify the months, and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach? Why are they joined together? Why are they presented together in the Torah in one parsha? So I wanted to suggest that Kiddush HaChodesh is very much related to this idea of building a nation. Why is that the case? So it would be almost sacrilegious if I were not to quote the Rav in a Yortzeit shir for my Zaydi Zichrono Livracha. He's a very, very close Talmud of the Rav and really revered him in every way. So the Rav, very famously, I think this is probably on the top 10 list, I don't know, but the Rav famously explained that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael when taking them out of Mitzrayim, what he gave to them in their freedom was time consciousness, was a ruling control over time, the ability to use time and be able to create and achieve. A slave doesn't have the rights to his time. He's totally controlled by his master. And by taking us out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that ability, that capacity to be creative, to take control of our time. And in so doing, so my Rabbi, Rav Rosenzweig, he likes to explain that Hashem essentially made us into what he likes to call junior partners, that where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously the creator with a capital C, he is the ultimate creator and doer. But by giving us control over time, by giving us the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah to sanctify the months, and thereby set the calendar for our entire year, Hashem made us his junior partners. He gave us the awesome responsibility to infuse our time with spirituality, with religious commitment. And that's what Kiddush HaChodesh is all about. So if that's the case, then we can very much understand the connection between Kiddush HaChodesh and Korban Pesach. Because for us as a nation to be the junior partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we first need to come together as a nation. We first need to create our nationhood specifically through the medium of the Korban Pesach, specifically through the Korban Pesach. And why the Korban Pesach of all things? Because the Korban Pesach was the way that we attested to our belief, our commitment, our emunah in Hashem. The Medrash describes how when Klal Yisrael was about to leave Mitzrayim, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Ein Yisrael Yotzein Mikan Ad Sheyishchitu Es Elohei Mitzrayim Le'enehem Sheodia Lohem She'in Eloheihem Klum. The sheep was the Egyptian god. It was an Egyptian deity. And by slaughtering the sheep, Ad Sheyishchitu Es Elohei Mitzrayim Le'enehem, what we accomplished was a severing of ourselves from a false deity, from a false god, from a false belief. And in so doing, in turn, we instead accepted upon ourselves the belief of the Ribono Shel Olam himself. We committed ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be his servants, to be his nation. By being Shochid as Elohim Mitzrayim Le'enehem, we were able to merit being a Klal Yisrael. We were able to merit that lofty status of being able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every walk of life. So that's why we had to offer a Korban Pesach specifically in order to gain our status as a nation, as Klal Yisrael, specifically through the medium of that Kabbalas Emunah, specifically through that idea of shechting the Pesach as an expression of our commitment to and devotion to Hashem. That's the way that when we all did that together, we attained the status of Klal Yisrael as Hashem's nation. And that is what made us fit. That's what facilitated our being able to be junior partners with Hashem and take control of our time and invest it with a sense of spirituality and religiosity. So this idea really has a number of ramifications when it comes to the Korban Pesach. There's a number of very, very interesting halachos that go together with the Korban Pesach. For example, a striking pasuk and medrash at the end of the parsha of Korban Pesach. V'chi yagur itecha ger va'asa Pesach la'Hashem, imo lo chol zachar va'azik rav la'asosa. If there is a ger who lives amongst you and he will offer a Pesach, he should make sure that all males in his household have a circumcision. He will be like a natural citizen. And anyone who's not circumcised may not partake in the eating of the Korban Pesach. Chazal were very attuned to this formulation of when a ger comes to bring the Korban Pesach. And they had a striking hava amina, a striking thought. They entertained an incredible thought. Source number 15, and Rashi quotes this on the pasuk as well. V'chi yagur itecha ger va'asa pesach la'Hashem. Shomea ani, I may come to conclude, kevan shen isgayer, that whenever someone becomes a ger, whenever someone converts to Klal Yisrael, ya'asa pesach miyad. He or she must bring a Korban Pesach. That's what I would have thought. When the Pasuk says, V'chi yagur itecha ger. Not only do they have to accept the mitzvos, not only do they have to go to the mikvah, not only do males have to have a circumcision, but in addition to that, I would have thought they have to bring a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach? Why Korban Pesach of all mitzvos? What accounts for this hava amina, for this thought in Chazal? So I've heard again from Rav Rosenzweig many times that the idea is that Korban Pesach, again, is the Korban of Emunah. It's the Korban of accepting upon oneself utter devotion to Hashem, belief in his existence, his Hashgacha, and his uniqueness. I would have thought maybe, as such, that whenever someone comes to be part of Klal Yisrael, he or she must offer that Korban as an attestation to to that exact idea, to that symbolism of the Korban Pesach. And instead we learn, no, one doesn't have to offer a Korban Pesach when he or she becomes a ger. But that Havamina was exactly what the idea of Korban Pesach is all about. And with that, we can also explain another very interesting phenomenon. There are two mitzvos in the Torah, two positive commandments, that carry along with them the consequence, the punishment of karis, of the severing of one from his community or from his future, of karis. Usually we only find kares with respect to very severe mitzvos lo sa'aseh, like the desecration of Shabbos or Yom Kippur. We only find it with respect to a mitzvos sa'aseh, positive commandments, with respect to two mitzvos. What are those two mitzvos? Number one, the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and number two, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. If a male fails to have a circumcision throughout his entire life, and he does so purposefully, he is subject to the consequence of karets. And if one purposefully neglects, purposefully dismisses the opportunity to give to offer a Korban Pesach, he or she is also subject to the harsh consequence of karets. What's the common denominator between Bris Milah and Korban Pesach? Bris Milah and Korban Pesach really accomplish very similar goals, but on different planes. Bris Milah is what symbolizes Kedushas Yisrael. It is that which we do for a baby on his eighth day, to literally lehachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu, to inaugurate him as a member of Klal Yisrael. The Bris Milah is that which attests to his Kedushas Yisrael, to his belonging to that lofty status of Klal Yisrael as an individual. Korban Pesach does the same, but instead of doing it for the individual, it does it for the nation. It does it for all of Klal Yisrael. And that means to say that if by offering the Korban Pesach, one attests to his or her status as being part of that nation. And by not doing so, by purposefully neglecting that opportunity, that's where basically you're saying, you're pronouncing that you don't have an interest in joining together with the rest of the nation. And that's why it's specifically the mitzvos of Bris Milah and Korban Pesach that carry with them the harsh punishment of karis, because of that common denominator. So what we saw tonight was an interesting idea about the Korban Pesach. In Rav Huttner's language, the Korban Yachid that generates the Tzibor, it's the Korban that creates the status of the nation. That's why it's brought all together. That's why it has aspects of both a Korban Yachid and also a Korban Tzibor. That explains some of the quirks or some of the anomalies that we find in the Pesukim. The emphasis on the bias, on the individual and his family. And going forward, the emphasis on Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, on that last of concentric circles, the broadest of circles, that joins together the entire nation. We saw that this idea really accounts for much of what we find about the Korban. The fact that there's a Havamina that the Korban should be brought by any ger, by any convert. The common denominator between the Korban Pesach and the Bris Milah, the two mitzvos that are all about belonging to the Kedushas Yisrael, whether as an individual or whether as a part of a nation. So it's really a big zechus for me to be able to give a yortzeit shir in honor of my Zaydi Zechuno Levracha, Yisrael Nachman ben Asher Anshel. And you know, as I was preparing these ideas, the ideas of the Korban Pesach and what we developed tonight were really at the core of exactly who my Zaydi was. I think on my Zaydi's Matseva, so there's just five simple words that describe who he was. Ish emet biyarei et ha'elokim. A truthful, honest person who fears Hashem. And that's exactly who my Zaydi Zechuno Levracha was. He was first and foremost a Yerei Shamayim, a man of unambiguous integrity, and moral compass. He lived every single day as a committed servant to the Ribono Shel Olam, a person who really had that Korban Emuna, that utter devotion that the Pesach symbolizes at his very core. And without any need for attention or fanfare, he transmitted those values and that devotion, his personal Masorah, to everyone around him. And he did so, and this was really the connection between the Korban Pesach and my Zaydi, he did so in those concentric circles. Because first, he was devoted to his family. He was a family man, I think par excellence, I think those were the words of my father. There was his entire essence, his mahut, was family. Just being totally committed to every single aspect of his family. He took upon himself, together with his brothers, with his siblings, never to miss a family simcha. And that was just exactly who he was. And then beyond his family, he was committed to his community, especially in St. Louis, where he taught many bar mitzvah boys, and he gave a consistent gemara shir, and he was able to pass on those values of his, those principles that, again, he symbolized without fanfare, without trying to brainwash or force or compel. He just did it just by his being, by his walking. And ultimately, I think he was able to contribute those to all of Klal Yisrael and to general society. He connected very much with his students where he taught in Washington University, and shared his deep mathematical knowledge with them and scientific knowledge. And he shared his Torah with everyone around him in his community. And really, every single human being. He was interested in their backgrounds, in their stories. Whenever he encountered someone, he wanted to genuinely get to know them. He wanted just to connect to them in a real authentic way. He cared about the people he met. And in that way, my Zaidi really emulated the values of the Korban Pesach, of the linking together of individuals and family, neighbors, communities, and ultimately Klal Yisrael as a whole. And I very much hope that our learning tonight should be bizchuto, and that his neshama should have an aliyah.
Shkach. Everyone's on vacation next week from Parsha Shir, but not from Torah. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Yoshua?
Yes.
Shkach to you. A side point, I think the question, I think the first part of your share can answer one of the questions you had the last part about why a ger doesn't bring a Korban Pesach the day is Megayer. Because that's the yachad aspect of it. But if it serves to create the tzibur, the gahal, he can't do it by himself. He's got to wait till they bring it to Yudala the first time to help. You know, he can't do it alone.
Be part of that experience. Very nice.
Put the ties together. You know,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Very good.
Also, sure, I don't know how it connects, and I'm no bucky, but I guess doing daf, recently, there's no carbon yachid that is done after the carbon tumid shalben arbayim, and we know that carbon pesach is done post the carbon tumid shalben arbayim.
Exactly, because the carbon pesach is a rule breaking carbon. It's I think Rav Rosenzweig, as always, captures it very succinctly. It's a shmos carbon instead of a vayikra carbon. Usually we find korbanos in Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Tzav. Here we find it in Parshas Bo. It's a korban that plays a very different role from other korbanos in general, and that's why it's found outside of the framework of the Tmida.
Yes, Shkach. I go to Nacht, Shabbos.
Okay.
Shkach, Shua. Shalom, Shkach.